I'm going to talk to you about speech. Now you're going to say, what does that have to do with the Torah portion? It turns out it has everything to do with the Torah portion, and I'll explain that in Midrash. For right now, I want to talk about speech. I intended to talk about it when we were in the leprosy section, because that's usually when you talk about speech, but we had something else come up, and I don't remember what it was, but it seemed more important at the time. So let me start with a quote from Rabbi Chaim Lusado. I do not write this work to teach people what they do not know, but rather to remind them of what they already know and is abundantly evident to them. But in accordance with the great decree to which these matters are accepted as self-evident, so is people's disregard for them very prevalent. And as a result, forgetfulness of them is rampant. And the commentary says, smart people like to study difficult things. Who wants to study something that's obvious and simple? And what Lusado is saying is, because of that, people neglect the laws of proper speech, because they seem obvious. It's been about 3 years since I talked about this. I went back and checked, and it's not anything specific. You just probably ought to talk about it again. Words are what define us. God created everything with words. The things that come out of your mouth define you. Angry and hurtful words define an angry and hurtful person. Kind and generous words define a kind and generous person. So the stuff that comes out of your mouth defines who you are. Now, who you are is who you are, and the fact that it comes out of your mouth merely lets other people around you know what kind of a person you are. The fact that you say the words doesn't make you a hurtful person. You're a hurtful person, therefore you say those words. So, the tongue. The scripture talks a whole lot about the tongue. And in fact, I'm going to try an exercise. What I want you to do is sit up straight, and I want you to take the tip of your tongue, and I want you to touch it gently to the roof of your mouth. Just very gently touch it to the top of your teeth, and then let the back part of it just sort of relax and sag. Take a second and do that. Now, did you feel the tension go out of your shoulders? One of the things that happens when you do that is the tension drops out of your shoulders. Everything relaxes, and that's an indication of the power of your tongue. Your tongue controls the muscles in your neck and your head and your shoulders, and if they're all tense, you can release them instantly by controlling your tongue. It's an interesting little thing, but it illustrates the power. Now, the tongue is an interesting organ. It is partially hidden and partially revealed. So when you keep your mouth shut, your tongue is hidden. You can also get it out there in public if you want to. That's designed to reveal the hidden self. So your tongue is partially hidden, partially revealed, and what the tongue does is reveals what's inside of you, who you are. And as I say, those of you who did it right should recognize the power of the tongue to control your body. Now, power of speech. Speech can turn bread and wine into a communion. You know, bread and wine are just bread and wine, but the words we speak over them make them a communion. They can make a man and a wife one flesh. Words of encouragement can comfort, heal, and dispel despair. A few angry words can set the whole room on edge, to include people that they're not spoken to. So if you were to speak angry words and everybody hears you, everybody just sort of gets on edge because there's strife in the room. And a careless remark can destroy a friendship. I've done that myself. I've witnessed that. So there's four Hebrew terms that I will give to you. I don't expect you to really remember them. The only one everybody remembers is Lashon Hara. And Lashon Hara is when he says something to me about you, something negative. Rachilus is when I, who heard those hurtful words, go to you and say, he said that about you. And then Motzishem Ra is slander. Now, slander is by definition something that's not true. Lashon Hara, by definition, is something that is true. So in my first definition, where Tim said something about you that was negative and true, that's what makes it Lashon Hara as opposed to slander. But in either case, it is wrong. There's three people that are injured in that process. First one is the one who speaks. Now there's a Jewish parable that's taught about this called the slanderer. A guy gets dressed up as a respectable elder in a town, and a stranger comes into town, and the guy comes up to him and says, "Wow, good to see you." And the guy says, "Oh, okay, fine." And they talk, and he befriends him and all that kind of stuff, takes him into the tavern and buys him a couple of drinks. And he says, "I got to go to the gents. Go ahead and order wonderful meal, because it's so nice to have you in town. I'll pay for it." So the guy goes up and orders this wonderful meal, and they have this wonderful meal, too much to eat, too much to drink. And the slanderer says, "I got to go back to the gents." And instead of going to the gents, he leaves. So the guy there is left stuck with the bill. And he goes to the innkeeper and says, "This guy promised to pay." And the innkeeper says, "Maybe so, but you're the one that ordered the meal. And he's not here. Pay up." That describes what's going on. Let me take you to Matthew 12. "Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil?" Remember, I was saying that the tongue reveals what's inside. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." Here we go. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So our slanderer here, this is person A, the one who speaks, may get away with it, but he doesn't. What Yeshua says is, you will be held account for all that you've spoken. The second person who is injured, of course, is the one whose reputation is damaged. That's obvious. But the third one that's hurt is the one who listens. And what happens is, listening to Lashon Hara, slander, whatever, coarsens your soul. It gives you an image of the people around you that is negative. And you start to think that you're sort of in a negative environment. And you start to look at people with suspicion. So it coarsens your soul. Many of you know, used to be in the Army. And I was post-engineer one place, and I had a staff that worked in an office and so forth. Bureaucrats, God love them, have these little signs that they put up in their cubicles that they think are clever. And I went by one person's cubicle, and there was a sign on her cubicle that says, "It's hard to soar with eagles when you work with turkeys." Yeah, everybody sort of chuckles. I asked her to take it down. I really don't want to work in an organization where people think other people are turkeys. I really want you to think of your coworkers as somebody that's trying to do his best, maybe messed up every now and then, as we all do, but not somebody that's a turkey. And I had her take the sign down. So people who listen to that, it coarsens their soul. So the reason to learn the laws of proper speech, and by the way, if you don't know what they are, we've got a book back there. We got several of them. We buy them by the dozen. And if you don't know what the laws of proper speech are, you can't keep them. So studying the laws of proper speech is what I would call spiritual self-defense. Because if you know what the laws are and you work to keep them, and again, nobody's perfect. We all mess up. And that's where forgiveness comes in, by the way, is when somebody inadvertently says something wrong or hurtful. But again, if you don't know that, you can't defend yourself. So if you don't know what the laws are, we've got books back there. They're Laws of Proper Speech by Chofetz Chaim. And by all means, take one and use it. So if the words of Yeshua weren't enough, I'll give you the words of Moses. Leviticus 19, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people. That's pretty clear. And then Deuteronomy 27, cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. So in my little hypothetical example where Tim says something negative about somebody else, what he's doing is he's attacking that other person secretly. Now, those things, once they're out, have a way of getting around and getting back. So the secret is pretty quickly out in the open. But the point is, it's intended to be secret. Psalm 34:12. What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's one of the things we use in our liturgy. That's why we use it. Proverbs 21. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. My dad used to have a saying, as a closed mouth gathers no fist. I was taught that very young. So the point is, know what the power of your tongue is and pay attention. Now, as we started off, a lot of this stuff is obvious. You all have lived long enough that you recognize that most of this stuff I've said is obvious if you think about it. But there's a lot of stuff that's not obvious. And one of the things about Chofetz Chaim is Jews have studied this for hundreds of years, and they've written it down. So you don't have to get scars on your knees learning it the hard way. Enough of that part. Let me switch now from improper speech to what I would call courageous speech. And that's speech that builds up. That's speech that tells the truth. And again, remember, Lashon Hara is harmful words that are true. I could pick an example of some hypothetical person. You know, that person actually wets his bed. Now, that may be true, but there's no reason for me to say that other than to harm that person. So when somebody slanders or speaks Lashon Hara, the defense that, well, it's true, is in fact not a defense. Because what you're doing is you're harming the community by speaking that way, even though what you say is true. So let's talk about courageous speech. The first thing is, it's not politically correct. One of the things that our society is trying to do is to channel your speech into approved lines. And they're doing that because, remember my little exercise we did with the tongue? How the tongue controls your neck and your shoulders and everything else? If they can control your words, they can control you. So the things that you must and cannot say change on a weekly basis depending on what's going on in Twitter. In fact, Kay was talking about some college professor got fired. He'd been a lecturer for years and years and years, and he was having a reception, and he put out some snacks. And he put out chocolate bars. Instead of her, she, him, he, because it has nuts. Sorry about that. But my point is, he got fired because that was insensitive. Now, the professor himself is one of the currently protected class in that he is a homosexual. Didn't help. He was against whatever was the current thing, and he got canned. So my point is, this is all intended to control. So as you speak to one another, avoid being politically correct. Don't speak in fear. And these are corrosive things that corrode society, and we see that all around us. Now, one of the reasons that people don't do that is fear, obviously. Fear of being canceled, fear of being fired, and all that kind of stuff. But the other reason people don't speak joyfully is superstition. I've told you this lots of times. Kay and I have developed a habit that whenever somebody asks us how we are, say, greatly blessed and beloved of God. And I will say that in King Supers, I'll say that in UPS store, the liquor store, and sometimes the liquor store salesman smiles at me. Sometimes she goes like this. But I do it. And the reason I do that is because I am actively fighting against this junk. And one of the reasons you might not say that, and I've had people, Christian people, say, well, that's pretty arrogant. As in, who do you think you are? And the reason for that is superstition. Lots of people go through life believing that the universe is inherently malevolent. That's the residue of paganism. And the idea is if you go through life looking too happy, some god may snap you just because you annoy him. And so people don't say positive things like that because of a residual superstition. They may not say it that way, but boy, if I say something like that, it may attract the attention of some demon or unclean spirit, and then it'll really snap me, so I'm just not going to say stuff like that. So we knock on wood, for example. That goes back to paganism. Knock on wood, there's a spirit in the tree. So as you go through your day, practice speaking joyously and courageously, and don't worry about it. Now, you'll get mixed reactions. I've had people say, wow, that's the best thing I've heard all day. I had a clerk at Home Depot say that. Some will say, you know, I am too. I had a clerk at Amazon say that as they were coming up to deliver my stuff. But there will be others who'll say, what are you, little Mary Sunshine? And go off on you. And what that is envy. So when you're joyous and cheerful and somebody is not, this, what are you, little Mary Sunshine, is an expression of envy. And don't let envious people control what you do. There's a Jewish thing. Angels are watching out for you for your protection, right? So if you don't acknowledge them, that's at worst ungrateful. It also might tempt them to give up. Do with that as seems good to you. But the point is, go through your life being joyful. Now, one of the things we talk about in Musar is, as Shanna used to say, fake it until you make it. Remember my little exercise with the tongue? What you do is you get into the habit of speaking positively, whether you feel like it or not. And what will happen is your words will lead your emotions. Your words will lead your circumstances. So when you're down in the dumps, or something isn't going right, or your cow died, or whatever it is, learn to speak positively. You don't have to deny that your cow is dead. You know, your cow dying is not a good thing, unless you happen to do it on purpose for steaks. But the point is, you're not denying the bad stuff that happens. You are looking past the bad stuff that happens and saying, regardless of the bad stuff that's happening in the world, my attitude can be one of joy. And the last thing I will leave you with is in Deuteronomy 28. Remember, I told you this was all connected. Deuteronomy 28 and the Leviticus passage on I'll curse you seven times are connected. And at the end of the day in Deuteronomy, he lists all of this stuff. And Moses says, and the reason for that is because you did not serve me with joy. The reason that all this befell you is you didn't serve me with joy. Now that is not saying, well, you didn't thank me enough and so I'm really grumpy with you. What it's saying is if your attitude is not joyful at the blessings of God, what will happen is you will eventually drift into idol worship and your society will eventually go downhill. So walking in joy and speaking positive, joyful words among each other is spiritual self-defense. Just like learning the laws of proper speech is spiritual self-defense. Because as I went through that book, there were things that I thought, what's wrong with that? And they explained, what's wrong with that? Because it would never have occurred to me. So I suggest that you spend a little bit of time studying simple things because they will pay big dividends.